Hi, I'm Richard Bushman. You're listening to Gospel Tangents.
It's the best source for Mormon history, science, and theology. I'm Rick Bennett. I'm excited to have Dr. Richard and Claudia Bushman on the show. This has been a long time coming. Claudia is the incoming president for the Mormon History Association. Those meetings are June 2nd through 5th here in Logan, Utah. And I'm excited to get a little preview from Claudia. We'll also talk to Richard about his work in Mormon history as well as Claudia, and talk about why some scholars get in trouble while others don't. Richard and Claudia will also address their critics, and so this is going to be a fantastic conversation. You won't want to miss it. And oh, by the way, MHA didn't pay me to say this, but you really need to come to Mormon History Association meetings. So it's June 2nd through 5th in Logan, Utah. Go to mormonhistoryassociation.org, I believe, and you can find out more about the conference. I believe early bird pricing ends May 16th, so you'll definitely want to register right away to get the best pricing. So anyway, back to our conversation. All right, welcome to Gospel Tangents. I am so excited to have two superstar historians on the show. Richard, I've often referred to you as the Michael Jordan of Mormon history. Wow. Claudia, you're no slouch either. So I know you're the incoming Mormon History Association president. Could you go ahead, Claudia, and tell us a little bit about Mormon History Association and your presidency this coming year?
About the Mormon History Association, I can say a number of things. And this is, I think, is it the 57th or the 67th year? I think it's the 57th year of this operation. I mean, and it's been going on for a long time. Leonard Arrington started it with a number of people. Richard was one of them. But of course, in those days, it was not considered suitable that people like me, females, would go to such a thing. And so I stayed home, but heard all about it. But it was gathering people who were doing Mormon history and also people who were interested in history. And we've had this annual conference ever since. This year, seeing as the president has something to say about it, we're including quite a bit of our cultural history as well as our religious and political and other kinds of history. And so we're opening with a concert, which will be very nice. Choral, string quartet, the music of Leroy Robertson. And then we will also have art exhibitions, several. And we will also have quite a few panels that talk about art, and that's read very broadly, written things, painted things, created things in many other ways. So anyway, that's my great contribution, is that I said, well, if I'm running president, we have to do some cultural history as well.
So yes.
It's going to be great.
Now, remind us, for those who don't know, when is it and where is it?
This is going to be in Logan, Utah, which has been wanting the Mormon History Association to come back for some time. They have a lot of fans there. And it will be in June, from the evening of June 2nd to June 6th. And that will include after conference tour, as well as all the events that are taking place at Utah State University, which is a very ideal location for us with all those classrooms. We have more panel discussions this year, more speeches than have ever been on the program before. So we're growing in lots of ways.
That's fantastic. Do you have to be a member of the Mormon History Association to attend?
Yes, you have to join up to attend, and you have to pay a membership fee and a conference fee, and but it's well worth it, of course.
I think you can actually attend and not be a member, but it makes more sense to become a member because it's the same price, basically.
But this is a group that thinking people and just people in general really enjoy being part of, and come back year after year.
It's my favorite conference. I always rank Mormon History Association. I put that as number one. I put John Whitmer as a close second. And then Sunstone, kind of a distant third. But I love them all. So this is fantastic. Can you give us a preview of the conference and what people should have to look forward to?
One of the speakers at lunch is Laurel Ulrich, who you may know. She's a very eminent Latter-day Saint historian. And she's begun working on her upbringing in a small Idaho town. And so she's going to talk at lunch about her life growing up as a girl in Idaho. Jared Farmer is also going to speak. He's the one who wrote the book about Mount Tipinogos on Zion's Mount. And he's a marvelous ecological historian. And then we have a distinguished lecturer from Yale who's coming in to give a talk on a short history of the Mormon smile.
Yeah, the Mormon smile. That'd be interesting.
That's been locked, and that's her name.
Yeah.
What is the Mormon smile, or do I have to wait to find out?
Yes, we all have to wait to find out. Another thing that when I was asked to do this, Richard said immediately, all right, and your theme will be landscape, arts, and religion in the Mountain West of the greater world, or something like that. And so I said, all right, if that's the theme, you can be the program chair. So,
I heard you were co-presidents, but you just voluntold him to be the program chair. Is that right?
That's right.
Steve Hackland is co-chair, but so that it's going to, I mean, it will be a once conference.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, I look forward to this. I don't know if I should admit this. I may have to edit this out later. I have a friend who's a former stake president, and I told him that I looked forward to the Mormon History Conference more than General Conference, and he said, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that.
But I'm glad he did.
This is such a treat. If you haven't been, you need to come. This is just like I said. I'm trying to decide if Richard is the Michael Jordan. Who is the female equivalent? Sue Bird? I'm not sure who. But Claudia, like I said, you're no slouch, that's for sure. You're the WNBA MVP of Mormon history, so that's fantastic. I know some people don't know you. It boggles my mind. I will talk to a certain number of people, and I'll say, do you know Richard Bushman? Do you know Claudia Bushman? People will be like, no, who's that? And I'm like, how is it possible that you don't know these superstars? But not everybody is a Mormon history geek like me. So Richard, could you tell us a little bit about your educational background? Oh, by the way, I want to make sure, because I can't remember where I read this, but I know at one time you were thinking about being a math major. I'm a math major, and I've got a master's degree in statistics. So I think that the best historian started in math. Anyway, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, I grew up in Portland, Oregon. I was born in Salt Lake, but during the Depression, my father couldn't get work in Salt Lake, so he moved to Portland. He was in advertising. He was kind of a fashion artist. And so I grew up, went to high school there, and was headed for BYU, but it so happened that I graduated in high school in 1949 at a time when Eastern colleges were trying to make an effort to recruit students from across the country. So there was a representative of Harvard who came to our high school, and I talked to him, and he persuaded me to apply. So I left in 1949 for Cambridge, and that's where I went to college. Meanwhile, the same thing was happening to Claudia. She was recruited to go to Wellesley. She was in San Francisco intending to go to Stanford, but she got a scholarship to Wellesley, so she came out and the schools were far apart, but we met in the same branch in Cambridge. So we got to know each other there and got married the year I graduated. And she had another year in college, but we've been married since 1955.
Wow, that's awesome. I was thinking you went to Harvard. Is Harvard in Cambridge?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Harvard. I did go to Harvard. Okay. Cambridge.
And Wellesley, I believe Hillary Clinton went there. Is that correct? Do you know, Claudia?
Absolutely. Hillary Clinton, Madeleine Albright. That's all I can think of at the moment. Nora Ephron. Those are some of the Wellesley people.
Tell us a little bit about your college career at Wellesley.
Well, I had never been east, certainly. I had been out of the state of California once, and I got on this airplane and sailed off to Boston. I always had felt that San Francisco, wonderful as it was, wasn't the real America. So, because the houses we saw in our school readers didn't look like the houses we grew up in, things like that. But anyway, so going off to Boston, and Wellesley is 12 miles west of Boston. That's where it is. It's really out of a small town, out of the country. But it was just an absolutely new world to me in so many ways. We didn't even take the Civil War seriously in California. But I discovered that Wellesley people were still fighting the Civil War. Before dinner every night, someone or other would start singing Dixie, and this heart would start singing Yankee Doodle, and I realized that that was still a living thing. And of course, the West didn't even count to them. But anyway, it was quite wonderful. I majored in English literature, and I was an English person through my master's degree. But then I'd been looking for a chance to get it into a doctoral program. And I was admitted in English in doctoral program at Boston University after Richard took a job there. But it required four languages besides English.
Oh, my goodness.
And by this time, I already had five little children, I think. Yes, I had five children. And so I started taking Latin at night. But then Richard came home from the meeting one time and said that the American Studies program, which he was in the process of organizing along with David Hall, was only going to require one language. Had two already, so besides English.
Yeah.
I swiftly became an American Studies person instead of an English person. And so I'm not a real historian in some ways. I'm a different kind of a historian. But
yeah.
Why do you need all those languages to be a historian?
So anyway, that's my path. So it's always been there. I started my master's program with two children, finished with three, graduated from college in maternity clothes, and fathered with five children, finished with six. So, and I finally got my doctorate about the time that my youngest left for college.
I'm trying to remember. So you got your bachelor's at Wellesley, your master's at Boston University, is that right?
Master's at BYU, my doctorate at Boston University.
Richard, I didn't realize you taught at BU for a while. I used to live in New Hampshire. I'm trying to remember. Is it the Terriers? Is BU the Terriers? I know BC is the Golden Eagles.
I think so. Their athletic teams are not particularly distinguished, except hockey.
Well, the hockey team is good at BU. I know that.
Yeah.
So, Richard, you got your bachelor's at Harvard, and then where did you get your PhD from?
I stayed at Harvard, got my PhD in the history of American civilization at Harvard in 60.
I say he has the 3 degrees at Harvard.
Oh, okay. So you got your bachelor's, master's, and PhD all at Harvard. I didn't realize you taught at BU for a while. because I thought you were at Columbia. Can you tell us a little bit more about your teaching career?
Well, my first job was at Brigham Young. So I taught there for 6 years. And then my next job was at Boston University. I started there in 68. And then in 1977, we moved to Delaware, and I taught at the University of Delaware because I had become very interested in material culture. And Delaware was the sort of the national center for the study of art and history. So I was there for 12 years and then came to Columbia in 1989.
So you taught at Columbia from 89 until, I think you retired now, right?
Yeah, I retired in 2001.
Okay, so that was a good 12-year career at Columbia. Fantastic. I was wondering if you can touch on this. It seems like the advice to young history students is don't study Mormon history until you're a tenured professor, and then you can study it. Is that the kind of advice that you would give to people who want to study history?
Absolutely not. I think that's pernicious advice. I think you should study history because you love the world, because you're interested in the world. To say you had to delay studying Mormon history until you sort of earned your keep implies the only thing that really matters is Mormon history. And that is wrong. I think every part of world history is of equal value, and people should study what they want to study. If you want to study Mormon history, if that's all that interests you, do it. But don't study history just as to win your stripes, as it were.
Is it harder to get tenure, though? Because I've heard that if you study, like, American history, it's easier to get a job. And then once you're tenured, you can study whatever you want. Is that true or not true?
That's true. That's true. But you should never study Mormon history, just Mormon history. You always want to make it part of a larger history of some kind. And I think any Mormon historian should be a historian of something that's broader than that, either American history or religious studies or anthropology or something.
Because your background is Yankee history, right? Or colonial?
Yeah, early American history.
Okay.
Is what it's do. But see, 2 years ago, I published a book called The American Farmer in the 18th Century. So I've always had sort of done all sorts of history at the same time.
I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Drs. Richard and Claudia Buschman. In our next conversation, Claudia's going to tell us more about how she helped start the Exponent 2 magazine.
Well, that came out of a project that a number of housewives in Cambridge, we had all these high-powered husbands who were getting important degrees, and we were all stuck at home taking care of our little children and so on. And we felt we were undervalued at church and at home and everywhere else. And so we were talking about our lives. And there was much discontent and unhappiness, housework, et cetera, et cetera. So at some point I said, why don't we do projects instead of just talking? I think it would be more productive and I think we would feel better about things. And so we started doing projects.
If you'd like to hear the entire interview uncut, please subscribe to patreon.com/gospeltangents for just $5 a month. Patreon is spelled patreon.com/gospeltangents. If you'd like to watch the entire video, you can subscribe at YouTube, Patreon, or on my website at gospeltangents.com and click the yellow subscribe button for just $8 a month. PDF transcripts are just $10 a month, and you can get those on patreon.com/gospeltangents or on my website. I'll send those to you as soon as I've finished completing it. If you'd like to get a paperback and PDF, just subscribe for $20 a month at either Patreon or on my website. Individual paperbacks are available at Amazon.com. Just do a search for Gospel Tangents interview, and you can find all of our past interviews there. Show your Gospel Tangents pride by purchasing a t-shirt on our website at GospelTangents.com/shop. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts at tinyurl.com/gospeltangents. You can get our latest updates by friending me at Facebook, or you can also follow our page at facebook.com/gospeltangents. Become an insider and you can see the newest videos. Follow us on Twitter at gospeltangents. Click here to subscribe, here for a transcript, and over here we've got some of our great videos. Thanks again.